Okay, well, that concludes our talk, and I appreciate you coming. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about this incredible epidemic that I would like to see occur in this country. Okay, and I'd love, and actually across the world, and I would love to see an epidemic of the dropsies. Okay, now what are the dropsies? Okay, you know how when you were a little kid or so and you kept dropping things, or you didn't have the strength to hold stuff for very long, etc., and you keep dropping it, you know? And of course, your parents, brilliant psychologists that they were, would say, you know, hey, don't drop it. And of course, that's what you'd hear. You'd hear drop it, so you'd go drop it again, you know? And even in our everyday life, we drop things a lot of times. And you've heard the expression, well, you have the dropsies, or do you have the dropsies, okay? And I want to encourage that condition tremendously, okay? Now, why do I want to do that, okay? I have absolutely no family members who make plates, you know, or make glassware, silverware, anything else like that, okay? I want to encourage it because of what the dropsies are. So let me explain what they are, okay? When we live spiritually, okay, and by the way, that's not for people who are, you know, monks or priests or nuns or, you know, aesthetic people or anything else like that, okay? Spiritual people are you and I, all right? Why are we spiritual people? Okay, well, for the simple reason that God created us that way. Okay, we are spirit, we are souls, and we're having an experience in this world of form using this form, this body. Okay, we're all wearing the same thing, we're all wearing a body. Okay, some of the models are different, you know, some are older, some have different coloring, some have different upholstery, etc., different plumbing. Okay, but we're all wearing the same thing. We're wearing a body, and we're here to have these experiences as soul, okay? So by definition, we're spiritual people. It's actually a redundancy. You don't need to say spiritual people, because by being a person, you're spirit, okay? And in the beginning was the Word was with God, okay? That means in the beginning was either the Holy Spirit or the sound current. And that's what we're made out of, okay? And that's what God created us out of. We're created in His image, okay? So God and the Spirit in us, it's one and the same, okay? The difference, okay, as it were, between you and God is simply a question of memory, okay? That most of us here wearing these things called bodies have forgotten. We've forgotten who we are, okay? We've forgotten who we are through the exercise of choice, choosing away from God, from the Spirit we are, and this exercise of our free will away from God is called karma, okay? That's the result of it. And the karma is what separates us between from the spirit we are and from God. It prevents us from knowing ourselves, okay? And as a result of that, we think we're our feelings, we think we're our thoughts, we think our emotion, we're our emotions, and we think basically we're egos, okay? And if you take a look at how we practice medicine in the Western world, you know, it doesn't come out of a vacuum. It comes out of our consciousness and how we see the world. Okay, and we see the world as these little isolated entities, and it's each being, each ego, isolated in the world. And there's like no connection. Okay, and you break that down, and there's not even a connection within the body. You know, each, you know, there's a specialist for the thumb and for the middle finger and for the index, you know, and a specialist for this cell in the body and that cell in the body, and everybody's a specialist, you know. and their specialty is being a specialist. Okay, so we're so fragmented and we're so split off, and it really echoes how we see ourselves. Okay, and then of course we all have computers that try to bridge the gap, you know, and tie us together in this sort of illusionary togetherness. Okay, and I have nothing against computers. They serve a really good function, you know, until they freeze on you, then the function isn't so great. But, okay, and all this comes about because we've forgotten something essential, that we are one, okay, that this duality we live in the world of form, okay, there's duality, you know, there's us here, God up there, okay, that duality is illusionary, okay, and when we practice the dropsies, okay, we get to experience more of who we are, that we are spirit, okay, that we are soul, okay. So let me give you a for instance. Okay, all right. I have it mocked up that unless the Mets offer me a contract, okay, of $20 million, okay, and unless I make the team, okay, and go north with them and make their final roster, etc., okay, I will deem myself not a good baseball player and a failure, okay? So that's my agenda for my life, okay. Right. Well, needless to say, I didn't make the Mets. Needless to say, I'm not hiding the $20 million anywhere, okay? And okay, so what do I do with this? Okay. Well, as long as I practice, I'm a failure. Then I'm locked into several things. I'm locked into the repetition of that. I'm always going to be a failure because that's what I am. Okay. And I'm also locked into that's the definition of who I am. And that's all I can kind of do. I can only be a, you know, a baseball player. Okay, so I'm not open to anything. I'm not open to anybody. If you're not the general manager of a baseball team, I don't want to talk to you because I have to make it as a baseball player. All right. And I'm going to carry this agenda to my grave. Okay. All right. Now, and of course, growing up, all right, my parents got divorced. Okay, and I know that if I had only been a better child, I would have kept them together, okay? Because that's the usual magical thinking of a child, okay? But they didn't stay together. I couldn't have been such a great kid, okay? There's something wrong with me. So I carry that into my life, okay? You and I enter into a contract, okay? You take the contract to mean one thing. I take it to mean another thing, okay? I'm insisting, okay, that my interpretation of the contract is correct, okay? And you are not meeting that, okay? So I label you all sorts of things, okay? And I also feel that I've been cheated, that that's the only way that the money can come or that I can be made whole. If that contract is fulfilled in exactly the way that I think it should be, okay, that's another agenda, okay. I run into Valentina, okay. She happens to be from Venezuela. Okay. I go, well, based on the one person I know from that country, I draw all these conclusions about everybody else. Okay. And it's obviously validated when I read all about their president. Okay. So I got a whole agenda. Okay. All right, so I'm going to think many times about ever going to that country or ever dealing with anyone from that country. That's okay. That's my agenda. Okay. I just wanted to give you some examples of possible agendas. All right. All right, so there I am, and basically I'm walking around thinking I'm a failure. I can only make it as a baseball player. I never want to deal with anyone from Valentina's country, Venezuela. Okay, I can only be okay financially if the contract is going to be met this way, okay? And I'll just never be good enough because, hey, you know, my parents got divorced and I must have been responsible. Okay, so those are my basic agendas. Okay, I'm right up front with my, whatever you want to call it, neuroses, whatever, my shtick. Okay. Where's God in all this? And how do I tap into God? Okay, and how am I going to start to understand and be present with God, A, if I don't think I'm good enough, okay? B is, if I am not getting the contract met this way and the money handled this way, I don't have any trust or faith in spirit or God that somehow I'll be made whole in however it wants to be handled, okay? So I'm going to have to control it. I'm going to have to manipulate it. I'm going to have to do all sorts of things. Okay. All right. Now, what happens if I'm put in this horrible position of the one person, okay, who can offer me a major league contract is a general manager, and guess where he's from? He's from Venezuela. What do I do? Okay. So even outwardly, it has a whole lot of practical implications, all right? But inwardly, I can't be with spirit. I can't be with God, okay? And all I can do is reinforce the false vision of myself as this little ego, isolated, and it's me against you, okay? Now, I remember reading about 10, 15 years ago that all of these resources in the world that we thought were limited, they're basically unlimited, okay? That there's more than enough for God knows how long, in one form or another, okay? So I started to wonder, well, that's really interesting, you know? This doesn't just happen. There's some kind of reflection, and it's a reflection of what we do. We walk around feeling limited, okay, that there's scarce resources, and we have to go fight. Okay, we have to go fight for everything. It's us against the world. Okay, we're this individual unit, okay? And we can't be present inside ourselves. We're not taught in this world that guess what? Guess where the wealth is? It's all inside of you, okay? We're taught to go out there and achieve, go out there and, you know, be someone and all that kind of stuff, okay? And I went to a college where probably half the kids in the college thought it was a wonderful idea to become a doctor, okay? And there were a few kids who, at that time, there were very few veterinary schools, but there were schools around. But there, a couple of them said, be a good thing to be a vet, you know? And that would do it, huh? That would do it. All right. And I decided that I would go and sort of do some follow-up with these people like 20, 25 years later, you know? I know it doesn't look like I got out of college that long ago, but okay. So, and I asked them, you know, when they were a kid and the value and the focus they put on what they were doing with their body, which was being a doctor in this case, okay, how did it stack up with how they valued it now and valued their lives now, okay? And they basically said, well, it's kind of like when you're a kid, you know, you're 5 or 10 years old and somebody gives you like a $5 bill, you think, my God, I am really rich. Trump, move over, you know? I mean, I'm loaded, okay? And when you get to be like in your 30s and 40s, you know, you're kind of glad that you have a $5 bill, but you realize it really doesn't buy very much, okay? And that was kind of what they, how they saw. And I said, okay, well, now that you've come to that realization, okay, that what you do with your body ain't it, what are you doing? And they looked at me like I was totally crazy. And almost invariably, all of them would say, more or less using similar words, well, isn't that the great tragedy of human life? Mm-hmm. You know? And I said, well, no, but you can make it one, okay? And what they were saying was they didn't know what to do, okay? That they had bought into, like all of us do, that the focus was on something outer, status, power, control, whatever it is, okay? And they didn't know just how to be themselves, let alone be with the spirit they are, okay? And where was there anywhere in this world to kind of tell them? Okay, so you have to come to some sort of marginalized place to go, hey, wait a second, you know, this is central to your being. And of course, people being people, we've all marginalized the spirit that we are. Okay, so I thought, well, you know, isn't it nice, okay, that we learn the dropsies, okay, and even applying it to them, it's not that they have to drop it. Okay, no, they can be a doctor. What's wrong with that? Okay, they're basically fulfilling a karma, so it's important, okay? But it's the value with it that's associated with it, okay? It's kind of like, okay, what's that car that I like? Looks good. Oh, I like that Bentley, you know? It looks pretty good, you know? A two-seater. It's pretty, pretty good, okay? And of course, I won't take your 300 down to my level by saying I also like it. But so we'll stick. Thank you. Right. So we'll stick with the Bentley. Okay. Now I could drive that with two headsets. I can go, wow, I really enjoy it. I like its power. I like the way it feels. I like the way it smells. I love the stereo. Okay. And just enjoy it. Okay. Or I can drive it with an attitude of, boy, aren't I something? Aren't I special? You know, I have this car and you don't, you know? And that attachment is going to get me into trouble, okay? Because I'm all identified with my value as a person, okay? Similarly, when we have these thoughts and these emotions, we identify ourselves with them. We get all attached, okay? So let's just say you did me wrong, okay? All right. And I have a lot of anger. So every time I see you, I go through that anger, okay? And it comes up in me. And that anger separates me from any kind of relating to you, okay? And because I've chosen to be into my very own karma and to really worship false idols and not worship spirit, not be with God, but worship the anger, okay, I'm kind of blind, okay? And I'm blind to the fact that, well, wait a second, okay? I can use that anger to lift, okay? And I'm blind to, well, maybe there was a karmic reason that she did that, okay? But no, instead I'll walk around with, she did that to me, I'm a victim, okay? But you know, if you're free, you can't be a victim, as a bumper sticker would say. Okay? If you're free, you can't be a victim. If you're free of the attachment, okay, then guess what? You're not caught, and no one has power over you. See, that's what happens. We give our power over to people. Okay, so let's even say an example of, oh, that contract, okay? I'm giving my power over to, oh, the contract has to be met in this way, okay? What I want to do is be clear of it. Yeah, that's my preference, okay? And, okay, ask God or the light of the Most High to make me whole in whatever way. Okay? And the other thing is, I need to trust the spirit or trust the system that I don't have to teach that person a lesson. Okay? That there is a system of justice, okay, called karma and reincarnation. Okay? That's administered very well, thank you, you know? And you don't have to worry about it. Okay? That soul, that being, will get its learning. It'll get its karmic learning. Okay? It's not your job. Okay? But if you make it your job, then you're making it karma. You're choosing into karma. Okay? So if somebody's done you wrong, okay, yeah, you set your boundaries up. You say, hey, you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z, etc. Okay? But if you get in there and teach them a lesson, as it were, then you're back into revenge, you're back into karma, you're back into the attachment, okay? And you want to drop it, okay? Now, I'm not particularly fond of the New York Times anymore, though when I was going to school, it was held up as the grammar, you know, for grammar, that's what you look at, okay? Now it's a horrendous show. I'm not very fond of them for other reasons, okay? But one of the most wonderful was this in articles. I don't know if it was just one or two. It was in the Sunday paper, and it was many, many pages long. Okay, and it was both an article and a chronology of U.S. involvement in Iran. Okay, and what the Iranians did. This was just after that incredible period of, you know, the hostages, and they were held for 400 and something days. And I think even the UN people who were sent there to free them, they got held hostage, you know. And they ran this article. And then in a very short box, they showed the chronology of how about 10 or 12 years before what America did to Iran. And exactly what was happening 12 or 15 years later in terms of what the Iranians were doing to Americans, it was just a mirror image. And it had gone round and round. I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. You know, only 12 or 15 years for the karma to come back, okay? But this is what we see. We see it played out in the world. The karma goes round and round, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, okay? And unless we drop it, okay, unless we drop it, you know, if only one side shows up for a war, there's no war. Okay, so if you drop it, guess what? There's not going to be a war. But I'm also speaking about the internal wars that go on all the time. Okay, that we're always at war with ourselves, with the spirit. Okay, and we need to practice the dropsies. Okay, you know, you did this to me, and I was, yeah, that's true, and drop it. Yeah, but drop it. Yeah, but drop it. And there'll be a part in us, in the sort of reactionary mind part or the basic self part, that part in our consciousness that's very responsible for bringing forward our karma, that'll keep indulging in that, indulging in it. And we need to drop it. Give it up. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it. Okay? It could be, well, let's just say, okay, that you come to my door and you knock and you say, hey, Dr. Lane, here's a check for $1 million, not for you, but for your, for the center, okay, for the seminary. And I died, come on, another goof, you know, and I don't open the door, okay? So I never get to experience that. I never even know for sure, okay? So even with doubt, okay, you want to at least allow yourself to have the experience, and then you can evaluate it, okay? And we know that doubt, okay, plays a very key part, okay, in the consciousness, okay? And that is the consciousness of the false self or the lower self, okay? Because as long as I can doubt that God is present, that spirit is present, okay, then guess what? That mind of mine and my emotions, they can have sovereignty, okay? And then also, guess what? I don't have to feel I'm responsible, you know? Hey, I'm not responsible. I can get away with anything, okay? But trust me, every thought, every feeling we have is recorded, okay? Every thought, every feeling has a vibratory frequency, okay? It's put out, okay? And we live in that environment, you know? I mean, we're always going to have a dirty, filthy environment, polluted as hell, okay? As long as we don't realize that we need to take care of the inner environment. And then when we take care of the inner environment and we start realizing, hey, you know, I am spirit, and the spirit in me is the same spirit in you, start respecting that spirit, then the outer environment, it'll take care of itself. We naturally won't pollute that, because we know it's all part of the same thing, okay? But we don't take care of our inner environment. And that's what we need to do. And when we practice the dropsies, we're starting to clean up. We're starting to clear up. It's not like, you know, if you have the dropsies, you can drop a lot of plates and whatever, the whole dining room gets cluttered, you know, with smashed up plates. This is just the opposite. Our inner environment gets cleaned up. And that's crucial. And it's not an easy job to have the dropsies, okay? It does take consistency. It does take a willingness, okay, to drop your point of view, okay? Because if your point of view worked, guess what? You'd be God's first mistake, okay? There'd be no reason for you to be walking around wearing what you're wearing. There'd be no reason for you to be wearing a body. Okay? Your point of view, okay, would be the God point. You'd have the God view, okay? And you wouldn't be choosing into karma and karmic fields. So your point of view doesn't work. Okay? If it worked, you wouldn't be here. Okay? And see, and in you is the proper vantage point. In you is the spiritual vantage point. But we can't get at it if it's obscured by all these thoughts and feelings that we allow ourselves to have. Or not so much to have, but to persist in. See, that's the thing, okay? You did me wrong, I get a flash of anger, bingo. I'm through it and I'm back into loving you. That's one thing. You did me wrong, and I'm dwelling on it time after time after time, well, that becomes my karma and my separation, okay, and my blindness, all right? So having the dropsies, okay, means persistently giving up the fear, the doubt, the pain, the separation, and always focusing on spirit, that you are spirit. And it has to be very active. You know, sometimes I talk to people and I'm totally amazed at how much negativity they can have and how much negativity they can run. I'd be exhausted. after like 5 minutes of that stuff. I mean, I'd be wiped out. I'd be in bed for a week, you know, and they just keep going and going and going and going and going and going, you know. And the interesting thing is that, quote, getting out the feelings and all that stuff, it doesn't help. It just pollutes the environment. It just keeps it going. It keeps recharging that negativity. It doesn't necessarily give you any insight. Okay, now that's very different from getting to know your emotions, okay, and being familiar with them and working them. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just kind of like dumping, you know, how like we all dump, you know. Okay, all right. I'd like to close by doing a little exercise. Okay, not jumping jacks or anything like that. Okay, but to take a moment, and we'll call in the light again. Okay, and so Lord God, send us your light. We put this time together into your light for the highest good. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is, I'd like you to get worked up about something inside yourself. Get really angry or annoyed or whatever you're really frustrated at or whatever keeps coming. Okay, now I want you just to drop it. Okay, now get back into it. Now drop it. Okay, now get back into it. And drop it. Okay, now what I want you to do is make a choice. Okay, where do you prefer to be? In that negativity? Or in the dropsies, whatever may take its place. All right, and I'd like you to make a commitment to just practice this until, oh, we'll say St. Patrick's Day, okay? All right, and if you want to continue, you're more than welcome to continue, okay? If you're marching in the parade, you still have to do it on that day, okay? All right. Okay. But what's the point of the dropsies? Okay, it helps you discover more of yourself, helps you be with yourself, it helps you, well, approaching it negatively, not create any more karma. Okay, and it helps you clear up the inner environment, and you start attracting things that are much more uplifting, better. Frequencies, higher frequencies, better vibration, and really a better life. Okay, because that anger and that grudge you hold, okay, that's going to be the very thing that catapults you into wearing that body again and again. So eventually, you are going to have to deal with it. Okay, and you are responsible for your creations. We're responsible for every one of our creations. Okay, that's the good news. It's the bad news too, but that's the good news. Okay, and we don't want to practice the dropsies out of a fear of, oh my God, if I don't drop it, I'll be in trouble, because that's just more of the same fear stuff and karmic stuff, okay? But we want to practice it out of a choice to be with the spirit that we are. Okay, and I'll stop with that, okay? If you're interested, I do teach a okay, I'll take a questions. I will attempt to answer some questions. So anyone from Phoneland is welcome to start. Okay, well, that was easy. Okay, if anyone here has a question, you get to it.
Hi. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My question is if you could speak a little bit about the difference between you said it in a way I can't really even paraphrase the way you said it, but about, you know, you have your feelings and you make it clear and you set your boundaries, and the difference between doing that and holding on to something and then it turning into resentment. Or
okay.
If
right.
you could just speak a little bit more
okay,
about
well
that in terms of like
sure.
you do like how you drop it.
Okay. Right. All right. Well, okay, but didn't you have the experience of dropping it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that's how you drop it.
Okay. I think what I'm thinking really, to be totally honest, is that when the other person has a reaction to that, which would be say a negative reaction to you setting a boundary and whatever, and then I guess you just drop it again.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually a good question, okay? And the basic ground rule is once you're into people's responses and their karma, then you're choosing into karma and you're giving your power over, and in some way you're allowing some kind of blackmail to go on, okay? Let's just say that you keep stepping on my toes, okay? Eventually, I put out, you know, Gina, we have a 5-foot rule. You cannot come within 5 feet of me. Okay, all right. I say that, okay, and you get terribly upset, okay? And you go, well, gee, Dr. Lane, I do take showers, I do brush my teeth, you know, why? You know, I'm basically a nice person, and I'll agree with you on all that stuff, and you still need to stay 5 feet away. Okay. If I take your response or your reaction, it's really a reaction, into account, then, and I go, oh, that's okay, then guess what I've done? Okay. I've chosen to allow that whole situation to continue. And that's not very good, okay? It's like the other day, somebody called me, asked me a question, can I do it this way or that way? And I said, no. And the person just kept going on and on and on and on, and actually pulled on me. It's very, very draining, okay? And I said, why are you doing that? And it was, well, I didn't want you to say no, okay? But I still said no. See, but a wiser response would have been, oh, okay, Dr. Lane, you know, the first time I asked you, I didn't bring in this factor. So maybe now that you know that this also is going on, can we do it that way? And at least I'll have something else to consider, okay? It's information. But if I'm just going by reactions, then I've chosen to support you in your karma, okay? And what I'm saying to you is, well, you're not spirit, you're not soul, okay? And I'm going to give you every right to continue your karma, okay? So I'm in a conspiracy with you, and I'm enabling you. And I don't think that's for the highest good of me or for you. You know, and I trust the system to such an extent that if I have the 5-foot rule around me, okay, I know that if you're hell-bent on keeping your karma going, you're going to get lots of enablers on this planet, okay? But I don't have to participate in that, okay? So I just have to stay with my truth regardless of the reaction, okay? And that's really... very important, okay? And I'll just tell a story. I've told it once or twice, but when my son was young. He said he was going into the 10th grade. He was in starting the 10th grade. And he said, you know, I really want to talk to you guys. Can we go out for dinner? So, yeah, we went out for dinner. And he told us that he thought, based on his own skills and abilities, he really wanted to go out for the varsity basketball. Okay, even though all his friends were playing another year of JV, and he was worried about their response, also because they practice in a very different place, you know, and he didn't want people to think he was uppity, but he thought, based on his skills, that that's what he would do. And he actually wound up starting every game as a sophomore on the varsity. So it just had to do with staying true. And we just listened, and we encouraged him to just stay true to what he felt was so. See, and if you start worrying, and if he'd gone with other people's responses or what he thought their responses would be, well, he wouldn't have been fulfilling himself. And that wouldn't have been very good. It wouldn't have been fair to him, and it wouldn't have been fair to others. So the best thing you can do, in short, is be yourself. Okay, and that's, and you know, reactions are just that. They're out of the reactive part of the mind, which is hooked into the false self, the basic self, hooked into karma. Okay, habitual responses to life. So you're not going to get anyone's clarity in a reaction. So why you would put any sort of value on their reaction, I'm not sure. If you're doing that, you need to go back to yourself and say, hey, why is that so important? And usually there's a manipulation going on. Okay, I need to go with that person's reaction because I want them to still love me, or whatever, I'll be lost without, whatever it is. Okay, good. Okay, sure. Okay, is there a question from Phoneland, or? Huh. Okay. Well, if there's is there another one here, or? I don't answer questions from people from Venezuela.
Drop it, Dr. Lane. Well, I suspect the answer, but so every thought, every feeling has its frequency. It's recorded. When we drop it, is it transmuted by spirit, or what happens with that?
Okay, that's actually a good question. Okay, thoughts and feelings persisted in become karma, and our karma. Okay, if you just have a quick feeling that passes through you, well then, that's it. It does get in the environment, but usually, it's kind of like, you know, if it weren't for the healing angels at night doing their stuff, you'd never get out of bed in the morning because you'd be dead. You'd be so toxic. We're so toxic normally, even the clearest amongst us. Okay, so there's always a clearing going on and a purification going on. Okay, and it's the same thing. With us, we're always being purified by spirit, whether we know it or not. So that stuff gets cleansed out, okay? The other stuff, it really well, it's a two-part answer, okay? And it has to do with the soul that's involved, okay? And if the soul is, like most souls, under what's called the Lords of Karma, then it must fulfill it karmically, okay? At some future embodiment, that karma will be assigned, okay? All right. So in other words, if I say I can never live without you, and I've seen this, okay, then guess what you do, okay? You set up all the embodiment patterns that you're going to have with the soul that's in the person that you can't live without. And you'll keep coming around and around and around together like two dummies. Okay, and you've set that up. I can't live without you. Well, you're a creator. See, this is important to know, that we are creators and we're very powerful, so we set that up. Okay. The other way that it's handled is if you're a soul and you're working under what's called a sound current teacher, then that's handled differently. Okay, and it can be handled through the master's grace, either taken up, it can be in a dream handled, it can be handled through a very mitigated way, etc. So it's handled differently, but it must be handled. Okay, so that's how it's, you know, a very primitive representation of that is what the Jews have. You know, when they have the high holidays, they honestly don't know if they're going to live or die for the next year. Okay, and it's the whole idea of, well, every thought and feeling they have, you know, it's recorded by a couple of munchkins, you know, etc. But at least it's getting there. Okay, we are responsible. Okay, and when the soul leaves the body, it does go somewhere in the inner worlds, called actually the Satanel, which is actually been bastardized to mean Satan. You know, but that's not it at all. Where the soul gets to see its record and where it is assigned, if it's not under a sound current teacher. Okay, and then also, what you're putting out, thoughts and feelings, they do have vibrations, okay? And people, and we are set up to be both senders and receivers, okay? So we receive those vibrations, okay? And on some level, we're aware of it. So if you're sitting there radiating a lot of angry thoughts, I probably won't go near you. You don't have to say a word or anything. Okay, but I'll pick it up, and people will pick it up, and we'll all pick it up. Okay, so, and that's our environment, okay? And then also, as we're generating that by choosing to persist in it, okay, then spirit can't be there, or we can't be there with spirit. So we separate ourselves constantly from the spirit we are. Okay, and then because of how these thoughts and feelings sit in our consciousness, we tend to take them as real. You know, an example of that would be if somebody keeps talks to you and you hear everything that person's saying as, well, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you know, well, then you need to look at what's going on here, you know. That there's a part in you that's what you're doing, okay? You've set up everything as right versus wrong, okay? And so you're just hearing this person making you wrong when really it's yourself, okay? And because you're caught in the mirror, you can't tell that it's your creation, and you can't tell that it's not real, okay? And ultimately, what's behind that is that's how you perceive your relationship with God. He's right and you're wrong, and the fact that you're in the body, you know, you're wrong and you're terrible. So what can you do to make gaga and nice with to God, you know, and with God? You know, so what you can do all these rituals, you know, you can, all these religions have great rituals and all this stuff, you know. And you can do all these things, and hopefully maybe God will come to like you. You know? Okay. And that's a lot, ultimately in the long run, it's a lot harder, but it's a lot easier to play that game than to accept the fact of how loved we really are. So as long as we can play the separation game, then we're like these little egos in time and space, and it's me against you. You know, which capitalism is a great expression of. Okay. Any other questions? And okay. Well, go ahead.
My dear, I appreciate your talk so much and everything that you're saying. Very, very much.
But. Okay.
How, when you don't know what it is you're keeping from you, how do you allow that to lift off, or you can ask God whatever it is?
Okay. Well, it really is the wrong focus. The focus is on having to know it. Okay. And we don't have to. Yeah, we don't have to know it. Okay. All we can do. In other words, if you're asking, well, why? You know, hey, God, tell me, you know, what's going on in me that keeps me from having X, Y, and Z in my life or this or that. Well, guess what? You're asking God to keep that around so you can discover why you have it. Okay. So you're asking to sit in your karma. Okay. And I lovingly suggest that you work it simply by just asking God or the Spirit to just take whatever separates you from that and tell yourself to let it go. You don't have to know anything.
Okay. I like that.
Because even if you know, I always teach, you know, the less toil way. It's always easy when you use less toil, and the way of grace is that. Okay, and also, even if you do know it, it doesn't help you get rid of it, okay? And you can't get rid of it yourself anyway, okay? And B is, it gives you absolutely no understanding as to why it's there.
Well, I want to thank you for all the things that have been lifting off. And it's very beautiful that you're talking. When we do let go, it allows the vibration to upgrade, and then there's more access to even better vibrational.
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay, and as you moved into the Spirit you are, you're met by Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. You know, if we make just the slightest effort, we're met. And that's what's so neat. Okay, we're not alone.
Yeah. That's really beautiful, and thank you for the experience of it.
Well,
more and more.
Okay, you're welcome. And if you really want to thank me, just practice it. Practice the dropsies, okay? And don't go taking any homeopathic remedies against the dropsies. Against the dropsies. In other words, really practice the dropsies, kiddo. Don't stop it.
I'm not hearing the word that you're saying, the dropsies.
The dropsies. The name of this talk was the dropsies. Are there monasteries in New Jersey? Are there monasteries in Venezuela? I can use it sometimes. All right. Okay. Well, is there another question here, and then we'll call it a night? Get it. Whoop, time's up. Sorry.
I've had the experience of having a grudge or a resentment and dropping it, and then it recurs. Is it possible ever to drop something and have it stay dropped?
Okay.
Or is it a matter of continually?
Okay, now that's a very, very good, that's actually a very, very good question, okay? Yeah, and watch how you set it up, because karma clears as karma clears, okay? So if you have a resentment, it may have an awful lot of your choice behind it. In other words, it has a lot of power, it has a lot of energy, it has a lot of momentum, okay? And it may take a lot of vigilance on your part, so that every time it comes around, you have to practice the dropsies, okay? Something else, you do it once and bingo, it's gone, or you do it a few times, okay? But I just want to caution you, I think it's a great question, I just want to caution you not to set it up that, oh my God, if you know I have to keep doing it, I haven't done as good a job of the dropsies as if I don't have to keep doing it. That's not true, okay? And that doesn't even need to be a consideration. Your only consideration is each time it comes around, regardless of what it is, have I used it to lift and grow? Okay, that's what's important. Okay, rather than, oh, I did a good job because I only had to do it once. Well, for all you know, okay, that might have been just a little, you know, speck of dust, whereas the other one was like a big dinosaur sitting on you, okay? And maybe that's the only thing that's actually weighing you down into your body and the only reason you're here. So you may also need that. Okay, so you need to, yeah. Okay, so watch how you set that up. And it's all designed so that you really practice, you know, and God will use anything. Okay, and so it can be a tremendous blessing that the same thing comes around again and again and again and again. Okay, good. And, you know, you ever see, I always forget the name of the movie. Was it Steel Magnolias? Did you see the movie Steel Magnolias? The same thing keeps coming around and around again and again and again and again until it's cleared. Okay, well, thank you for coming. I appreciate your coming.